Welcome back to another episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. This is the first episode in a very long time, and I'm so excited. I'm not even going to give you a huge intro. I got off the phone with Inner Circle member Andrea, and plain and simple, this episode very well might change your life, especially if you use food as a coping mechanism, and or really if you just struggle with fitness, nutrition, your weight, negative, toxic people in your life, any of that stuff. Give it a listen. I hope you enjoy it. I'll talk to you soon. Andrea.
Hi.
There we go. Perfect. All right. So we're going to start from the top. We just were on the phone and the app glitched out. So Andrea, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Pleasure's all mine, Jordan.
So I'm sorry to have you start over again. Just like start from the top and tell me what's going on.
Okay. So I guess actually, did you want me to be like detailed in like what's been like how I got here? Or do you want the Cole's Notes version?
Honestly, whatever you're most comfortable sharing, like if you want to go into details, you can. If you want to just more generals, that's totally fine too.
Okay, we'll do a little bit of both. So my journey is not as typical as everybody else's, definitely not original, but a little bit different. So I've been part of health and fitness has been part of my life forever, like from the time I was a kid into high school, young adulthood. I was a big athlete, basically just involved in as much fitness and health as possible. And then in 2012, something had occurred between myself and my fitness community. And there was like a big, huge falling out between myself and my coach. I would say everything is pretty much under the bridge at this point, but it may be difficult for some people to understand, but that fitness community was like, I defined part of myself as part of that fitness community. And when this falling out happened, it literally turned my world upside down. And I had to back away from it because it wasn't healthy anymore. It wasn't a healthy relationship. And I knew as much as it was breaking my heart, I knew I had to leave. And when I left, I honestly didn't know who I was anymore, what I was going to do. And I kind of fell into this like little bit of a depression, if you will. And I just started, I wasn't working out anymore. I wasn't eating healthy. Didn't want to go to like what we would call a global gym, and didn't know what the hell I was going to do. So the weight started creeping on, and then I entered nursing school in 2013, and that just added to everything because honestly, never in my life have I experienced stress on that kind of a level. And I didn't even give a shit about fitness and health. Like that was like it was like the last thing on my mind. I couldn't care. All I cared about was like, give me the cookies because that's what's going to sustain me right now to get me through the next 3 hour freaking study session. And literally my life, I think that's all I ate was cookies. So I make a joke with everybody. I tell people like, you know, it was a lot of fun gaining the weight, but then once, I don't know, I think I hit like 208 and I was like, whoa, not good. This is not good. So,
it's so funny. It is like, it is sort of fun gaining weight. You're like, yeah, this is cool. Like I'm eating what I want. And then you get to a point where you're like, oh,
and you know,
fuck.
The crazy part, Jordan, is that while I was gaining the weight, I knew I was gaining weight, wasn't happy about it, but honestly did not have the pressure of like, keeping up this, you know, what I thought was like my goal body, like I used to all the time and caring about the scale every day. Like I had better self-esteem while I was gaining weight, if this makes any sense at all, as opposed to prior when I was like, you know, 140 pounds and pretty lean and thinking that I thought I was so fucking fat, which is I look back at that today, blows my mind.
Well, you know, that'll be interesting. I'm going to want to come back to that later in the discussion. It's a really interesting topic in terms of you were at a point in which you weren't focused on losing weight. And when you weren't focused on that, it wasn't that you weren't aware that you were gaining weight. You weren't looking at yourself with such a critical mindset or critical attitude. You weren't judging yourself. You're like, listen, this isn't my goal right now. So what's the point of even really focusing on it? And like, you ate whatever you wanted to eat. And then you ended up getting to a point where you're like, all right, like I'm not okay with where I'm at right now. But in the process of getting there, you didn't have that critical or judgmental eye that so many people put on themselves once they decide to lose
100%.
Weight.
100%. Exactly. Yeah. And but when I reached 208, I have a very, very good friend who's now my coach and has been since 2015. His name is Dom. And I reached out to Dom and I said, okay, buddy, we got to do something here. I need some help. So he coached me for free for about a year. And then he's like, all right, bitch, pony up. Time to start paying. So we took it to a more formal level. And I've been we've been officially coach and athlete now since 2016. And everything was going relatively well. I even did this great powerlifting competition. I think in 2016, I got myself down to like 181. Everything was going really, really well. And then in January 5th of 2018, I literally woke up paralyzed. Couldn't move my body for six hours. Couldn't move.
Literally lying in bed.
I woke up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, had to go to the bathroom, and I was laying on my belly, and I went to go, you know, you go to take your hands and brace yourself like to get out of bed. And the second I did that, I was met with the most excruciating pain of my life, which on a Jordan, like I can't even articulate it. I couldn't even move my upper body by like a centimeter. So anyways, long story short there, what was happening was we discovered that I had a really serious back injury called spondylolisthesis. It was a grade 3, close to a grade 4 almost, and had to see a crap ton of specialists, and they're all telling me that I need a spinal fusion. And being a surgical nurse, I know what a spinal fusion is. Not interested at all. I'm not mentally a good candidate for that. It's like 3 months of bed rest almost. It's awful. So I was like, nope, that's not happening. So I just did a crap ton of research, ended up finding the legendary Dr. Stuart McGill, wrote him an email, basically begging him to take me on as a patient. He sees celebrities. Like, he doesn't. He's like, who's this girl emailing me? So he was kind enough to write me back, and he politely told me no. And then I wrote him back politely telling him no. So I was like, so I basically just said to him, like, this is my life. I am committed. I'm dedicated. I'm not interested in surgery. And I think once I made that plea to him, I think he realized how serious I was. And he ended up agreeing to see me, which was just life-changing. So good in one way, bad in the other way. I had to stop all activity other than walking for almost a year. Yeah, so all I was doing was rehabbing and walking. But like all the progress that I just made over like the last year and a half, you know, that's gone. Once again, my little community is gone, which I knew, you know, I'd be getting, I knew I was working towards getting back to it. So it wasn't anything that was devastating, but I was just kind of like on my own, had to do my own thing, had to be accountable to myself, and had to do the work. And so as crappy as that was, like I said, that was almost a year, put some more weight back on. I think I went back up to like 193. And then I found you. So I started picking up the barbell again in about October, November of 2018. And then I knew I had to get onto some type of nutrition program, because the biggest thing for me that I just wasn't getting the nutrition. I know everything about the nutrition because I did it my entire life. But for some reason, I just couldn't get back there. couldn't get back to. I would do one day, 1 to 2 days of good, clean eating. And then I would go kind of not binging, but just like small all day shitty meals. And I would do that for like, I would do that for about two days. And then I'd say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to get back on track. And then day three would come and I wouldn't get back on track. It would end up being like, basically what I was doing was four days of crap eating, two or one day of good eating. That's what was happening like forever. And I just couldn't break that pattern. And I know I sent you an email, and this is really important for me to communicate for other people who are listening, because I think a lot of us feel that, you know, sometimes a program, we're like, okay, this program, it's like renowned, it's so popular, everybody's doing it, it's super expensive, like it has to work. That was part of my thought process, like, oh my God, if this is $1,000, like these people know what they're doing. This is awesome. This is what I need.
Isn't that funny how that works?
I did that with two of the top nutritional programs that are going, and I and it's not that I don't think they're good. I do, but without any doubt, I can say that I do not feel that they are programs for absolute beginners who psychologically need a lot of help, because if I've learned anything at all, this journey, especially nutrition, is like 100% psychological. So
it's all psychological. It really is.
With a coach, and he says to me, okay, this is what we're going to do. Here's your macros. Get these macros in. Send me your pictures in 1 week. See you later. Bye. I was like, well, what the fuck? I was like, I can figure out my macros. Like, honestly, I was really blown away. That was my introduction to one of the best nutritional programs going out there, what, you know, quotation, unquote. And I was like, okay, this isn't going to work. Like, this is not what I need. So that was a failure. And then I tried a second one, which was similar, but I thought, okay, maybe I'm going to get a little bit more out of this one. And I didn't. And then in December of 2018, I basically researched, like I'd have been following you for a couple of years. And then I was just researching your program. I was like checking out the
inner circle.
I was like checking out the hashtags of Inner Circle. I was like creeping your members. What are they like? Are they happy? I really did my research, because I didn't want to have another failed. I didn't want to, first of all, waste any money at all anymore. I was done with that. And secondly, I didn't want to join another program that I was just going to fail. And after seeing everything, I thought, I think this is the right thing for me. And I think I knew within 4 weeks of being part of the Inner Circle how amazing it was, how beneficial it was, how like this is it. This is what I've been searching for. This is what I've needed. And it was just an accumulation of everyone's stories, your podcast, like one of the most profound podcasts. Like I remember one of the first podcasts I listened to was you and Renee. And that's where I learned about Bright Lines. You know,
that's amazing. That makes me super happy.
Bright Lines there. And then you did another podcast with a member by the name of Amy. I don't even know who she is. I think she's very quiet in the group. But you had said to her, like, time to cut the shit. Like I'm going to be honest. You were a little bit harsh with her, but I loved that. Like that for me, my type of personality, that's what I need. I'm not an emotional creature. So I need someone to look me in the eyes and be like, enough of the shit, let's go. So when you did that video, you did a little personalized video to me back in early March when I said I was going to do a no bullshit challenge. Good. You know, good that you're going to do this. That's awesome. Easy to do, you know, day one, day two, day three, but let's freaking see you do it day five, day seven. And I was like, yeah, game on.
Let's go.
And Jordan, that's what I needed. Like, how simple is that? But that's what I needed. That's what I've been waiting for all this time. And it has to come from somebody who I respect, somebody who I think has greater knowledge than me. It can't just come from anybody. Like, my husband says this to me all the time. I'm like, yeah, yeah, let's go. You know? It's not, of course, that I don't respect him. I love him to death. But it's just, I mean, I hope you understand what I'm saying.
It's very different with a sibling, yes. A spouse. It's complete, literally, like, it's completely different. For whatever reason, the psychology of it is massively different to have someone who is like very, very close to you versus someone who is more like in a professional role. It's completely.
Yeah, well, I went to work the next day, and one of the girls who, like, she's been supporting me since the beginning, her name is Kat. And I said, I went to work and I said, Kat, Jordan just called me out. And I showed her the video, and we were like, you know, so excited. She was just as excited for me as I was. But yeah, like, freaking Jordan Science calling me out. Like, I have to do this, you know? So that was my first 30-day challenge. Lost 8 pounds in that 30 days, which I have not been able to do in so long, like years.
How amazing is that? Let's just like take a pause right there. Like, what was the difference this time?
I think just the conviction in which you had called me out, and me saying to myself, like I'm in the public eye now, like in our group. There's tons of people who are looking at me. I'm accountable to these people now, not just myself, not just some dude that I'm emailing once a week, you know?
Yep.
And I said, like, I have to do this. Like, enough is enough, Andrea. Enough is enough. And that was it. That was the switch, literally. I can't articulate it more than that.
You know, it's so interesting, though, and this is such an amazing point to bring up, and it's like, I think a lot of people overlook it, and you're saying it's like, yeah, you know, you could do it for the first day, 2 days, but like, what about the fifth day, and then the eighth day, and then the 12th day, and then the 17th day? And it's like, yeah. That's really when the progress happens, and a lot of the people who are like, no, you don't understand, it's not working for me, it doesn't work for me, what they don't understand is that, number one, literature shows that the people who consistently struggle to lose weight are consistently overestimating their consistency. Right. They're massively overestimating how consistent they're being. And tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like what happened was, when you had this accountability, you had this call out, you had this group looking at you, and you created this conviction within yourself to stick to it, you were more consistent than you'd been in a long, long time. And that's what led to those
Absolutely.
Results.
Absolutely. And any time that I would even, so I called it the no bullshit challenge, because I think that's what happens. We start telling ourselves little bullshits here and there. So no one can say, no, like, it's okay. Like, so here in Canada, us Canadians, well, many of us, we love poutine. It's French fries, gravy, and cheese. And that's like, I think it is one of our favorites. And, you know, so we'll often, like, when we go out for dinner with each other or lunch, like, it's somebody's ordering poutine. Somebody at the table is ordering one. And, you know, it's so easy to say, like, oh, yeah, it's okay. I can have that one poutine. Like, that's like 700 to 1,000 calories right there. Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. No, easy. No, bitch. It's not okay to have that. You cannot have that. Like, your calories are done if you have that. So,
I fucking love you. No, bitch.
It's so true, Jordan. So you can. Like, those are the things that you have to stop yourself from doing. And it's not just the big ticket items either, like a poutine and 1,000 calories. It's all the little things that add up too. You have to be uber aware of everything. It's a lot of work. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's hard, but it feels freaking amazing when you're doing it and you're being successful and you're being honest with yourself and you have so much integrity. It feels amazing, and that feeling just keeps you going.
That is, like, my hairs are standing up, my arms. What you just hit on is a very, very profound, and like, I'm literally writing down the time that you just said that, because I want to like keep track of the times that some really amazing things are said. And that bit right there is really remarkable, because that's all psychology. That's all psychology and emotional right. behavior, and why people are doing the things they're doing. And one of the consistent patterns I've found with people when they aren't consistent it's because they're focusing on what they want in an impulsive moment. Like, they want the poutine, they want the whatever. And then they're like, oh, it's so hard. I just want this. It's so hard. But what you're focusing on is the feeling once you've done it, once you've made the right decision for you, with a decision you'll be proud of. And you're focusing on essentially a future event in which you can look back on your day and say, I did it. Yeah. Honestly, I really did it. And I didn't give into that impulsive desire. And then you can look back and say, I'm super proud of myself. And that feeling is far more gratifying than any giving into any impulse. And I think it's important to clarify, it's not bad to give into impulses sometimes, but you have to really realize what is your goal and what do you want to achieve? And if you want to achieve a certain goal, then there will be impulses that you'll have to suppress sometimes. And in the moment, it might not be fun, but in the long run, when you're achieving your goals, it will all have been worth it.
Bang on. I couldn't have said that better myself. And that is exactly 100% what I've been experiencing, what I've been living. And I think if I can say one other thing just to add to that is also, so really quickly now, it's been more than the 30 days. I think in total, I'm almost at 90 days.
It has to be by now.
And I have not once eaten how I used to eat in the past. It's fucking huge, Jordan.
It's outrageous. Like, it's incredible.
Almost 90 days. And I haven't, like, I used to eat like such an asshole. Like, I got, you know, you've coined that term and I love it so much because it's so true. I used to eat like such a jerk. And while you're eating like a jerk, you're treating yourself like a jerk too, because you go to bed feeling like shit. You wake up feeling like shit. I have not experienced that once in these 90 days. And it's freaking life changing. Like, I'm slowly getting back to the person that I used to be, which is, I can't even articulate the emotion and the feeling. It's because, you know, like I said, like, this isn't, fitness and health has been part of my life forever. So while I was gaining this weight, and although, like I said to you, part of me didn't care about how I was looking and feeling, at the same time, I was really embarrassed, though. I was embarrassed to be around my peers, especially those who are still part of the fitness world. That was really hard for me. I didn't even want to be around them because I felt like, I don't know, I felt like a fraud. I felt like it's hard, but I didn't want to be around those people anymore. And I didn't. I like slowly every day push myself further and further and further away from them. So like, this is just such a life altering time right now. And I'm getting it. I'm slowly getting it again, what it means to like really love myself, you know, because loving ourselves isn't part of just accepting how we look in the mirror. It's also about like, I love myself. I want to put good food into my body because I want to feel good. I want to live healthy for as long as possible. That's the goal. That's my goal, is to stay out of the nursing home. That's my goal. And I'm going to do that through nutrition and fitness.
I love that. That's amazing. It's interesting you say that, because obviously Susan's mother just passed. And one of the things Susan always talks about is like, she wants to be strong forever. Yes. Like, she never wants to get to a point in which like she needs help or assistance. And it's one of those things that like, your goals change as you get older, and your perspective changes. And it doesn't mean that you don't want to look a certain way, but I think that your perspective changes on life and you realize like, wow, like, I really want to do this so that I can be strong and independent and take care of myself and not be a burden on others, and also just be proud of where I am. And like, if I like six pack or not, that's not as important anymore as is just being strong and healthy and capable. And, you know, I think it's a really important thing to be aware of.
Exactly. That is exactly it. So, you know, really quickly, being a surgical nurse, I have all these patients who come to me pre-surgery. We get them ready. They go, like, these are the big surgeries. So they're with us for a couple of days afterwards, sometimes weeks. And I will tell you right now, 80% of my patients cannot lift themselves up in bed. So do you know what I mean by that? We have to boost them up in bed because they don't have the upper body strength to simply just lift themselves up in bed. That right there tells us everything we need to know.
I'm very rarely rendered speechless. And I just don't really even know how to articulate the feelings of, like, when you hear something like that. It's terrible.
It's been such a huge eye opener since becoming a surgical nurse and seeing the condition. First of all, I say to myself and to my coworkers all the time, these people, and these are elective surgeries, most of them, they shouldn't even be allowed to be having these. Like, what are the tests that they're doing to say that they are ready to have this surgery and to come out and rehab properly? If you can't even lift yourself up, like lift your body weight up for 2 seconds while you push yourself up in bed, how are you going to be able to get out of bed after surgery?
That's exactly right.
So that's exactly the goal. Right. That's the goal, is like Susan, I feel exactly like she does. I have her mindset. It is about being able to squat, walk, do push-ups for as long as possible into my 90s.
I love that. So what's the plan going forward? Like, and this is a really important topic, because I think a lot of people hear, okay, like 90 days, like, okay, I'll go all in for 90 days. But the issue I see with people who do that is, once they go 90 days, they almost from day one, they look at day 90 as the end point. And it almost handicaps them in a way, in terms of like, okay, once day 90 hits, then I'm, and this is the reason I do not work with figure competitors. I do not work with people doing bodybuilding shows, physique shows, because what the binges after are epic mm-hmm. proportions. They're insane. And they look at sort of that competition day, or they look at the end of day 90 as a day of like, okay, once that happens, I'm going to eat this. And it's like, hold on. A 90-day challenge for yourself, it's not to say that on day 91, you then binge on everything you want. It's the challenge is to create the habits that allow you to sustainably achieve your goals over the rest of your life. It's the first 90 days of the rest of your life. It's not a 90-day challenge that on day 91, it's over. So what are you thinking going forward? Like, what's your plan? Or do you not have a plan? Like, what do you think is going to – what do you want to do?
Are you ready for this?
I'm fucking ready. Let's go.
First of all, I am the total opposite of what you just said. I'm typically right now eating about 1,700 calories a day, which is like, that's my perfect sweet spot. So I'm only losing about a pound a week doing this, but I don't fucking care, because I'm super happy. I'm still losing, even though it's slow. I have no time goal at all. I have no end date. There is no end date.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. And I'm going to interject really quick, because it's so easy to say something like this and gloss over. I'm only losing a pound a week. A pound a week is not slow.
Okay, man.
A pound a week. And I always say this, and you know this. I say between half a pound to a pound a week on average is very good, right? Between half a pound a week on average is very, very good. Which means, for example, you might not lose any weight, we'll call it, for 2 weeks. So literally, your weight might stay the same, might even spike up a little bit. But at the end of the month, you look back and the average for that month, we'll call it, was 1 pound down from we'll call it May 1 to June 1. That's an average. Oh, that's like a quarter of a pound a week, right? That would be relatively slow progress, but again, still progress. If it was 2 pounds at the end of the month, that's an average of what? Half a pound a week. That's very good progress. I do not want you to think that it's slow. And I know, like, you're in a very different mindset. I can hear it and I love it. I just don't want you to say that's slow progress, because that's fucking amazing.
Okay,
progress.
So I won't say it's slow anymore. Now I'll be like, no, it's fucking amazing progress.
That's exactly right. And literally, imagine if you maintain for 52
that's exactly
weeks.
It. So that is the plan right there, Jordan, is to maintain that. So I'm down a total of 14 pounds now in roughly the 90 days.
Holy shit, that's fucking amazing.
And feeling amazing. And by the way, all my lifts have gone up. All of them.
Wait, you're saying you've gotten stronger and lost fat at the same time? But that's impossible.
How does that happen? That's no.
I love that. That's incredible.
So that's what's happening. And my lifts are feeling amazing. I'm feeling speedy. I'm feeling, everything's feeling good. Where before, like, it was lifting, like, I've always loved lifting, like Olympic lifting is my love. It's my everything. But it was hard. It was like, I had to really, really work at it. And not that I don't have to work at it now. I still do, of course, but it does feel much better. However, I just watched your YouTube video this morning on high intensity, low reps, speed and power. And I have to say, like, without doubt, the speed and power are an absolute must, because we've been focusing on that a lot. And that has been a huge game changer.
Isn't it really interesting how that works?
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because I like to sort of compare things to different elements. So, for example, the thing with speed and power is, and I think I even saw your comment was to the effect of like using between 50 to 70%, right? So it's like 50%, half of what you could actually lift. And a lot of people might hear like, why would you use half of what you could, like, that doesn't make sense. Well, like, you could, why not 3/4, or why not like 80%? Why not 90%? Why wouldn't you go as heavy as you possibly can? And I think that's the way people look at nutrition too, is like, why don't I go as hard as I possibly can? Why don't I go as like as rigid and as strict and as in every aspect of life? It's either all in or all out. And I really think, especially with the strength training and like the 50%, 60%, 70% range for speed and power development, that's not only where you get better for more rate of force development, more power production. It's also where you get to practice your technique and you get to perfect your technique and get your reps in there.
Exactly.
And I think when people take that mindset from strength training and then over to nutrition and then over to business, to every aspect of life, and where it's like, hey, listen, it doesn't have to be all in, all out. It's not a failure if you're not lifting as heavy as possible. Sometimes you're just practicing to make your technique better, to make your habits better, to make everything better, then all of a sudden when you do need to go all in, you're more prepared
for it. That's exactly it. And those are the two biggest changes that I've made in my life since the injury with training. Stuart McGill has this book out called The Gift of Injury. And I'll tell you right now, the title couldn't be more appropriate, because when you go through a severe, severe injury and you have to start over, like not being able to touch a barbell for almost a year, that was awful. When you're starting all over, like back from basics, first of all, you don't ever want to get back to that place again. So you're like, I am not going to be doing anything that's going to jeopardize my progress moving forward. So, you know, I listened, because I think that's the other thing, is that people, when they get advice from the experts, I think sometimes they only half listen. And I'm not sure, you know, what the reason is, but they take the advice, but they don't fully let it, like, they don't let it saturate them. Where everything that I've learned from you, everything that I've learned from McGill, I have just sat back, I've taken it all in, and I'm like, yes, like, I am not, like, no cowboying, no more, you know, just going in and like lifting as heavy as possible every time I go in. I don't even care about that anymore.
Why do you think people do that? Why do you think people seek out advice from a professional and then not fully take it?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Do you think it's conscious?
No, I don't think it's conscious. No, no. And I
think that's it. I agree. I think it's an unconscious thing in which people, I don't think people seek out the advice of a professional, oftentimes paying for it, and then consciously say, all right, well, fuck that. I think that, well, sometimes they do. Like, I think sometimes they do. But I think a lot of times people will seek out the advice of a professional, a lot of times hoping for the professional to justify whatever it is they're already doing. And then when the professional doesn't justify what they're doing, they're faced with two options. The first option is stopping their impulsive emotional behavior and switching over to the logical approach outlined by the professional, which is incredibly difficult because it means giving up the emotional impulsive response, or continuing with what they're already doing, because even though they know the logical thing would be to follow what the professional is saying, it's easier to continue with their emotional impulsive behavior. And that's what it's very much the similar pathways and similar responses to drug addicts. It's like they know they should stop, but it's an emotional impulsive response, obviously hormonal as well. And I think that's what happens, where when they're told what they need to do in order to get better, a lot of times they don't do it because that emotional impulsive response takes over their logical side.
I could absolutely see that. And that, I think that also applies to like the way that I used to eat as well every day. And cause you get a little bit of a high while you're eating, not after, while you're eating, you're like, yeah, this is
you're
good.
Right.
This feels good. This is what I need to comfort me in this moment. And then as soon as it's over, like the second it's over, you're like, fuck, that feels horrible.
This literally comes back to sort of what you were talking about at the beginning about how like you had a better self-esteem when you weren't really focusing on your body comp. And I think this sort of outlines, it's like while you were doing it, while you were eating the food, you're like, whatever, I don't really give a fuck, it's not a big deal. But maybe afterwards, and you were thinking about like the larger whole, you're like, fuck, like one day I'm going to have to address this.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how that works. Like while you're doing it, it's like, this is great. But the regret that comes after it can really be
exactly.
A bitch.
And I can say this with so much, I'm being so genuine when I say this, what I've learned in these last 30 days and applying it to my life, there is no better feeling. It doesn't even compare. So I think we're scared of the work that's ahead of us. We're scared of, and let's keep it real, food was a coping mechanism. Because like I said to you earlier, I'm not an emotional person. And like, when I say not an emotional, like I can cut off an emotion, like no one's business, man. And I would do that with food. I'd be like, no, like I can't think about the stress of school right now. I can't think about the fact that I'm not working out. I can't think about the fact that I'm gaining weight. I don't care. I'm going to eat. It's going to make me feel better. And I'm just going to get on with it. And that's how I would cope. Now, I just sit with everything. That's all. I sit with it.
What do you mean? Explain that.
So now anytime I get stressed out or I'm feeling a feeling, I don't react at all. I just sit with it. I let the feeling be there. I acknowledge it. I'm aware of it. And guess what? I'm okay. I'm okay. It lasts a couple of minutes. It's uncomfortable. But like everything in life, we need to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that's the big part that we need to get comfortable with, are those uncomfortable emotions. And that's what
you're hitting on some really tremendous points that a lot of this goes undiscussed in the fitness world and nutrition world. Like, well, how do I deal with emotional compulsive binge eating type thing? It's what you just said is, when you get the impulse, when you are dealing with a bad emotion, when you would go to food as your coping mechanism, you sit and you wait it out. It literally might last 20 seconds, might be a minute. And one of the things that I always say like, wait 20 minutes. If after 20 minutes you still want to do it,
that was one of my first videos that I ever seen of you on YouTube. It was about maybe 2 years ago. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think it was exactly.
And I remember that was one of my first introductions to you. And I thought, well, this guy's fucking smart. This, like, really, like, how hard is it? Is it going to kill me to wait 20 minutes? No, it's not going to kill me. So I'll be honest with you that although I acknowledged it and I understood it, it didn't really resonate with me. Nothing has really resonated until, like I said, these last 30 days. And yes, Jordan, I just sit with it now and I let it be, and it's okay. It's okay.
But that's another amazing point. Like, that's another amazing point that needs to be understood. You saw that video, we'll call it 2 years ago, and it's really started to resonate within the past 30 days. And that's okay. Some people, they want it now. They want, okay, well, I want to understand it. I want it to resonate. I want it to internalize it. I want it to materialize now. And they get discouraged when it doesn't happen in a day, in 2 days, in 4 days. And that's when they quit. To hear you say, someone who's made so much progress, and a lot of people will be discouraged. And I get emails like this all the time, especially a lot of times Inner Circle members will email and be like, oh, I'm just so discouraged because everyone seems to be doing so well in the Inner Circle and I'm not. I'm like, first of all, not everyone is doing very well. And even those who are doing very well are they still
we
have
are
their
struggling
bad days, their
all
bad
the
weeks,
time.
Their bad
yes.
months. Everybody. It's always a struggle. You can't if you only focus on the struggle, then you'll miss the highlights of when you actually succeed. And the more you can focus on your success, the more likely you are to continue. And I think most people, they focus so much on the times that they're struggling that they overlook the times that they succeed. And that's a really negative mindset to get into. But the fact that you literally saw that 2 years ago, it had a massive impact, but it's really started to resonate with you in the last 30 days, 60 days. Like, that's huge to really internalize. Like, that principle needs to be internalized more than any specific concept, because the principle of understanding internalization might happen in a year, 2 years, 3 years. Understanding that will allow you to be like, listen, this is a process. There's no end date, right? Like, when you can understand that, that's when you set yourself up for massive long-term success, because you're no longer waiting for an end date for something to happen today, tomorrow, next day.
And I feel like, so although, like I said to you, I don't have an end date, and you're right, this took a long time. Like, it resonated with me 2 years ago, but really, I'm like really grasping everything, you know, these last, you know, 30, 60 days. And it's true. Like, I have had a massive psychological, like, I don't even feel like the same person anymore. I really do feel like I'm getting, because the old me, I'll be honest, it wasn't a challenge to eat well and go to the gym. It just wasn't. I hate to say that, but it wasn't. It's just what I did, and I liked it. And I want to, I hope I can get back to that place. I get, like, not every day was obviously, you know, easy, and I'm sure I struggled, during certain times, but for the most part, it was pretty effortless for me, and I loved it. I really enjoyed it. And I hope I can get back there. But like you said, there's no end date. I do need small little goals along the way. I've realized Absolutely. That. And something else that I've realized is that, so the last 60-ish days, I haven't been posting daily in the group because I'm not doing the accountability thing. I've said this to some of the inner circles as we've been communicating. I have noticed the difference that I'm not as successful, as motivated as when I was posting daily. So I definitely think there's something to that. I don't think I'm quite, I'll be honest, I couldn't walk away from the inner circle right now. That, I'm just being honest. That's the truth. So the support of the inner circle and yourself is bar none.
Well, thank you. That makes me super happy.
Bar none. And I would say that it is at least a good, 30, if not a little bit higher, percentage of my success. I couldn't have done this without being part of this group. I'm dead serious.
Well, you're going to make me cry.
It's the truth, though. Like, this, Jordan, this has been life-changing. Like, you have changed, like, so many other lives that you've changed another one. And I hope, I can't say for certain that I'm never going to go back and that I'm never going to gain the weight again, but I'm hopeful that I'm not going to, and I don't have any plans on doing that at all. I've got training goals in mind. I've got like another 40-ish pounds that I'd like to lose. So I've got, and I have, I'm hoping that I get there by December, but if I don't, I don't. It's okay. It's no big deal. If it happens like January or February, that's okay too, because I'm not going anywhere. And as long as my main priority is to mentally stay healthy with this journey.
I literally about to go into tears. So I love that so much. It's absolutely incredible. Andrea, do you have any parting words that you would like to leave people with? Or is there anything that you, if there's words of encouragement that you wish you had in your most difficult time, what would that be?
In my most difficult time, I'll be okay. Yeah. So for anyone who's listening, this is actually really, really integral. When I was feeling that I was fat and overweight before I had started gaining weight, because that was my darkest time, was right before I started gaining weight. I was in a really, because the people who were around me, the professionals, were telling me this, that I needed to work harder, that I needed to lose more weight, that I couldn't eat an apple at nighttime because that was making me fat. Literally, my coach had said that to me. So switching over to somebody who I mentioned earlier, like Dom, we've been together since 2015. He has been one of my lifelines, main source of support. You have to find a coach or a group of people who are healthy and who are going to unconditionally support you and never say a derogatory thing to you, ever. I don't believe that ever, there's no excuse ever for one derogatory comment to be made to anybody in their fitness or weight loss journey, ever. Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Couldn't agree more at all. I love the passion with which you say that.
Because, you know, Dom has been such a pillar of support for me. He has been so amazing, so healthy. He supports me in the inner circle. He supports all the healthy things that I do in my life. And when I'm not doing something so healthy, we sit down and have a conversation about it. He doesn't degrade me. There's no negative words being said. And I honestly think that is 100% key, especially the professionals in your life, that if that person isn't 100% I'm not saying you can't be hard on the person. Like, you came up and you said, let's go, Andrea, cut the shit, let's do it. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But when you start using derogatory, you know, language, well, that's a completely different story.
There's a difference between tough love and shaming. There's a very big difference.
So for me, because that's what got me into this mess. Honestly, that's what started this, is that here I was, this young, healthy, strong, lean, fit girl being told that I was basically fat and not good enough. And I believed it. And it was horrible. And and I'm not saying that it's completely that person's fault. It's not, because I'm in charge of me. And no matter what anybody says, at the end of the day, we are in charge of ourselves, and how we react is 100% on us. You know, we're all adults. We should all be emotionally mature enough to be able to, you know, decipher between, you know, how we react. Like, our reactions are 100% up to us. But this was a little bit different. Like, this was psychological. This was getting into my brain. This was making me, I really did believe that I was fat and that I wasn't good enough.
And now you know better.
Yeah, that's the biggest, honestly, because, you know, in the middle, like we talked about, I wasn't really I was gaining the weight, didn't, you know, aware of it, didn't like it, but didn't really care. And then I found you, and everything's been so amazing since. So my toughest moment was right before the weight gain. It was the catalyst. And never again would I ever, ever surround myself with another human who feels that they have to talk to somebody else like that to get them to achieve a goal. No way.
I love that. And I love how passionate and decisive you are with that. I think decisiveness is one of the most underappreciated characteristics. And I feel how decisive you're, like, absolutely not. Once you feel that, once you notice that trait in somebody, gone.
Just, yeah. And it's the same thing with exactly, gone, goodbye, done. And it's the same thing with the IC. You know, it's the complete opposite end of the spectrum, where the group, it is such a genuine, positive group that it's so difficult to articulate. I've been part of so many different fitness communities. This is, Jordan, like I said earlier, bar none, you've created something so wholly amazing. It's, you know, you can't even put it into words, honestly, Jordan.
Well, this is like my first podcast back. I'm literally almost cried three times. Andrea, I appreciate you and I love you. I respect you. I admire you. It's been a blessing to have you on. And I'm literally going to call you as soon as we hang up on this. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Jordan. Thank you for having me.
I love you. I'll talk to you soon.